The Grand Slam by Leonid Andreev. They played cards three times a week, on Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays. Sunday was a most suitable day for card play, but had to be set apart for other duties, such as visits and the theater, wherefore it was considered the dullest day of the week. The corpulent and hot-tempered Nicholas Dmitrievich played with Yakov Ivanovich, and Evpraxia Vasilevna partnered her brother, the morose Prokopy Vasilevich. This long-standing arrangement was due to Evpraxia Vasilevna. To play against her brother gave no sort of interest. If one lost, the other won, and although the stakes were insignificant, and Evpraxia and her brother were comfortably off, she could never understand playing a game for the game's sake, and she was always pleased when she won. She kept her winnings apart and considered them far more precious than the large sums she dispersed on housekeeping or on the rent of their expensive flat. The players always assembled in the large flat where she and her brother lived. There was also a large white cat, which always slept in an armchair, and the necessary silence reigned in the rooms. Prokopy Vasilevich was a widower. He had lost his wife in the second year of their marriage, and for 2 months after lay sick in a hospital bed for mental afflictions. Evpraxia was unmarried, though she once had a romance with a student. No one knew, and she, it appears, had forgotten why she never married him. She was the youngest of the party, 43 years old. When the original arrangement of partners was made, Nicholas Dmitrievich, the eldest of the four, was especially displeased. He was annoyed at always having to play with Yakov Ivanovich. In other words, to lose all hope of ever making a grand slam in no trumps. In every way, he and his partner were unsuited. Yakov Ivanovich was a dried-up little old man who dressed summer and winter in dark coat and trousers, and was always silent and severe. Each evening he appeared punctually at 8 o'clock, not a moment before or after, and straightway took the pack in his dried-up fingers, on one of which was a large diamond ring. But what annoyed Nicholas Dmitrievich most in his partner was that he refused to make a higher contract than 4 tricks, even if his hand was certainly worth more. Once it happened that Yakov Ivanovich started with the 2 of a suit and led right up through to the ace, taking all 13 tricks. Nicholas Dmitrievich threw his cards angrily on the table. "Why didn't you declare Grand Slam?" he shouted. Yakov Ivanovich picked up the cards quietly and wrote down his winnings for a contract of 4 tricks. "I never bid more than 4, he replied. "You can never tell what will happen." Nicholas Dmitrievich could never convince him. He always took risks, and as he was a bad card holder, always lost. But he never lost heart, invariably hoping to win next time. At last he was reconciled to his partner, and they played happily enough together. Nicholas Dmitrievich took risks, and his partner quietly wrote down his losses and bid up to 4 tricks. In this way they played, summer and winter, spring and autumn. Outside, the doddering old world pursued its varied career, now red with blood, now drenched with tears, leaving in its track the groans of the sick, naked, and wronged. Some faint suggestion of all this was brought by Nicholas Dmitrievich. Sometimes he was late coming in when the others were already seated at the table, the pink cards laid fanwise on the green cloth. Then, red-cheeked, he hurriedly occupied his place opposite Yakov Ivanovich, excused himself, and said,
"What a crowd there is on the boulevard! Just a constant stream."
Evpraxia Vasilevna considered it her duty as hostess not to notice the idiosyncrasies of her guests. Thus she alone answered, while Yakub Ivanovich shuffled the pack in grim silence, and her brother saw about tea.
"Yes, probably," she said. "The weather's lovely. But hadn't we better start?"
They began, and the lofty room became silent as the tomb. The maid moved silently about on the soft carpet, carrying glasses full of strong tea, and nothing was heard but the quiet swish of her starched apron, the scrape of the scoring chalk, and Nicholas Dmitrievich's sigh as he paid a large fine. Very weak tea was poured out for him and placed on a special table, as he liked to drink out of a saucer, with long sips. In the winter, he would inform them that there had been
10 degrees of frost
in the morning, and now
there were 20.
In summer, he would say,
"A large party has just gone off into the forest with hampers."
Evpraxia Vasilyevna would look politely at the sky. In the summer, they played on the terrace, and though the sky was clear and the tops of the 4 trees glistened in the sun, would remark,
"I hope it won't rain."
And Yakub Ivanovich solemnly shuffled the cards and, dropping the 2 of hearts, reflected that Nicholas Dmitrievich was flighty and incorrigible. Every time Nicholas Dmitrievich came, he would make a remark about the Dreyfus trial in France. With a lugubrious expression, he would inform them,
"Dreyfus's case is going badly."
Or he would tell them that the sentence was
unjust
and would
doubtless be changed.
Then he would bring out the paper and start reading passages about Dreyfus.
"We've read it already,"
Yakub Ivanovich would remark dryly, but his partner, paying no attention, would read out what he thought interesting and important. Once, Nicholas Dmitrievich roused the others almost to strife, as if Praxia Vasilyevna refused to acknowledge the legality of the proceedings and demanded Dreyfus's immediate release, while Yakub Ivanovich and her brother insisted that certain formalities
must be observed first.
Yakub Ivanovich was the first to remember himself and, pointing at the table, said,
"Isn't it time?"
They started to play, and thereafter, however much Nicholas Dmitrievich talked of Dreyfus, he was answered by complete silence. So they played summer, winter, spring, autumn. Sometimes Prokopy Vasilievich would forget altogether what his partner had said, and once having contracted for 5 tricks, failed to make 1. Then Nicholas Dmitrievich laughed loudly and magnified his loss, while Yakub Ivanovich remarked dryly,
"If only you'd gone 4, you'd have been nearer getting it."
There was always intense excitement when Evpraxia Vasilyevna contracted for slam. She grew red, trembled, not knowing which card to play, and looked piteously at her taciturn brother, while her 2 opponents, with knightly courtesy for her womanhood and helplessness, encouraged her with condescending smiles and waited patiently. Everyone took the game very seriously. To them, each hand and every card in that hand had its individuality and lived its own life. Hands were liked or disliked, lucky or unlucky. The cards always combined differently, and these combinations were subject to no analysis or laws. The players used them for their own ends, and the cards did their share, as if animated by their own wishes and caprices. Hearts usually went to Yakub Ivanovich, and Evpraxia Vasilyevna's hand was usually full of spades, though she didn't like them at all. Sometimes the cards were capricious, and Yakub Ivanovich couldn't get away from spades, while Evpraxia Vasilyevna rejoiced in hearts, made high contracts, and lost. Nicholas Dmitrievich always held bad hands and was ready to exchange any of his cards which, like visitors in a hotel, were quite indifferent as to where they made a short stay. At times, he could hold nothing but twos and threes, for which reason he was firmly convinced he could never make a grand slam, as the cards knew of his wish and thwarted him on purpose. Then he pretended the game was a matter of complete indifference to him, and he tried to cut short the exchanges of cards, usually drawing sixes and sevens, with a solitary picture card to tantalize him. Evpraxia Vasileona concealed her feelings best, and Yakov Ivanovich had long ago learnt to assume a philosophical indifference whatever his hand was. Nicholas Dmitrievich alone had never learnt to conceal his annoyance at the capriciousness of the cards. Each night as he fell asleep, he would dream of winning a grand slam in no trumps. How on picking up his hand he found first ace, then king, then another ace. But when he sat down to play again, his hand was always full of small cards, in which he felt the sinister designs of fate. Other incidents happened. Evpraxia Vasileona's cat died and was buried in the garden underneath the lime trees. Then Nicholas Dmitrievich disappeared for 2 whole weeks, and his partners did not know what to do, as three-handed bridge was contrary to their habit and boring. When he appeared again, his red face had grown pale, and he seemed to have shrunk. He informed them that his son had been arrested for some offense and sent off to St. Petersburg. All were astonished, for they never knew he had a son. Perhaps he had mentioned it sometime or another, but they had all forgotten about it. Soon afterwards, he again failed to appear, and all learnt, with astonishment, that he had suffered from angina for a long time and had had a severe attack that day. But afterwards, all went on as before, and the game became even more serious and interesting as Nicholas Dmitrievich regaled them less with outside topics. One Thursday, however, there was a startling change. As soon as the game began, Nicholas Dmitrievich made a contract of 5 and won not only his contract, but a small slam, as Yakov Ivanovich had an ace he had kept quiet about. For some time after, he held his usual cards, but then started a series of good cards in suites, as if the cards wished to see how pleased he would be. He bid to play for the game, and all were astonished, even the phlegmatic Yakov Ivanovich. The excitement infected the other players.
"What's up with you today?"
the gloomy Prokopy Vasilievich asked Nicholas Dmitrievich, fearing good luck as the precursor of misfortune. Evpraxia Vasileona was delighted to think that Nicholas Dmitrievich at length held good cards, and on hearing her brother spit on the floor 3 times to avert misfortune, cried, "Fie, there's nothing exceptional in it. The cards must give everyone a turn." For a moment, fortune seemed to have deserted Nicholas Dmitrievich. A few twos turned up, but then followed aces, kings, and queens with great rapidity. All his bids were successful, though Yakov Ivanovich kept obstinate silence about his aces. Astonishment had given place to doubt his partner's change of fortune, and he remained constant to his rule, not to contract more than 4. After Prokopy Vasilievich had dealt, Nicholas Dmitrievich picked up his cards. His heart almost stopped beating, and a mist rose before his eyes. He had 12 certain tricks in his hand, the clubs and hearts from ace to 10, the ace and king of diamonds. If only he could pick up the ace of spades in the exchange. He had the grand slam in no trumps.
2. No trumps, he began, controlling his voice with difficulty.
3 spades, said Evpraxia Vasileona, who was almost as excited, having nearly all the spades from the king downwards.
"Four hearts," retorted Yakov Ivanovich dryly.
Nicholas Dmitrievich promptly declared a small slam, but Evpraxia Vasilevna, carried away by excitement, bid grand slam in spades, though she saw she could not make it. Nicholas Dmitrievich reflected for a moment, and affecting an air of triumph to conceal his agitation, declared,
"Grand slam! No trumps!"
Nicholas Dmitrievich declaring, "Grand slam! No trumps!" All were astonished, and the hostess's brother exclaimed,
"Oho!"
Nicholas Dmitrievich stretched out his hand to draw a card, but swayed and knocked over a candle. Evpraxia Vasilevna picked it up, and Nicholas Dmitrievich sat motionless 1 second, placed his cards on the table, and fell slowly to the left. Falling, he knocked over the table on which the tea was standing and lay across it on the floor. When the doctor arrived, he found that Nicholas Dmitrievich had died from heart failure. By way of comforting the living, he added a few words on the painlessness of his death. They placed the dead man on a sofa. Covered by a sheet, he looked large and fearful. The card table had not been cleared, and the cards lay face down on it, those of Nicholas Dmitrievich in a neat pile as he had laid them down. Yakov Ivanovich walked about the room with small, uncertain steps, trying not to look at the corpse. After passing the table several times, he stopped and picked up Nicholas Dmitrievich's cards, looked at them, and put them down in a neat pile as before. Then he looked at the card Nicholas Dmitrievich would have drawn. It was the Ace of Spades, which would have given him the Grand Slam. Walking up and down a few times more, Yakov Ivanovich sat down and wept, because the dead man's fate appeared to him so pitiable. Shutting his eyes, he tried to picture Nicholas Dmitrievich's face, as it was in life when he won and was happy. The events of the evening passed before him, beginning with the 5 diamonds which the deceased had won, and ending with this series of good cards, so exceptional as to be ominous. And here, Nicholas Dmitrievich lay dead when he might have made grand slam. It seemed to Yakov Ivanovich he had never before realized what death was, and now he saw how irrational, terrible, and unavoidable it was. He stood, went to the card table and played the hand for Nicholas Dmitrievich, picking up the tricks one by one till he had all 13. It was the first and last time that Yakov Ivanovich went more than his contract of 4, and he won the Grand Slam in the name of friendship. He thought how large the score would have been, and that the dead man would never know it. What appeared most pitiable was that he would never know that the Ace of Spades was waiting to be drawn, and he held Grand Slam in his hands. Even if Yakov Ivanovich was to shout in his ear, weep, and show him the cards, Nicholas Dmitrievich would never know, because he existed no more on the earth. He would never know.
"Never,"
said Yakov Ivanovich, pronouncing the word slowly, syllable by syllable, to convince himself of its reality and meaning. The word was so horrible and bitter that he again fell back in his chair and wept. "You hear, Yakub Ivanovich?" said Evpraxia Vasilyevna as she entered the room, and sitting at the table, burst into tears. "How horrible! How horrible!" They looked at each other and wept in silence.
"Have you sent the news?" said Yakub Ivanovich.
"Yes. My brother went with the maid, but I don't know how they will find the flat. We don't know the address."
"Doesn't he live in the same flat as last year?"
asked Yakub Ivanovich in consternation. "No, he moved. The maid said he used to hire a carriage on the boulevard."
"You'll find the address through the police," said Yakub Ivanovich soothingly. "He has a wife, hasn't he?"
Evpraxia Vasilyevna looked pensively at Yakub Ivanovich without answering. He thought the same idea was in her mind as in his. He sniffed once more, put his handkerchief in his pocket, and raising his eyebrows over his swollen eyes, asked,
"And where shall we find a fourth now?"
Evpraxia Vasilyevna did not hear him. Her practical mind was at work. After a moment's silence, she asked, "And do you live in the same place, Yakub Ivanovich?" That was The Grand Slam by Leonid Andreev, abridged by Martin Forman, read by Sarah Schlesinger.
Arbory, drama and fiction. Hear more drama and fiction, old and new, on arboryproductions.co.uk.